possession. It's there! Hardman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
Is this the dagger?
Welcome to the Final Whistle. Disclaimer, we do not share the opinions of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. These are all our own opinions. I'm your host, Ryan, along with Dante and Chris. Unfortunately, Mateo is unable to join us today because he was really sick. We're hoping he feels better soon and can be with us next week. Here, going into the NHL season that kickstarted a little bit ago. Looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs so far. Kicked off the season, you know, looking good, but without some scoring from Austin Matthews, who has 2 goals in 5 games, which is still pretty solid. It's just not what you would expect out of the new Leafs captain.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've looked fairly consistent throughout, but from the top guys, like John Tavares hasn't looked all that great, to be honest, starting the year. You know, Nylander's looked okay, but could be doing a lot better. And then, you know, like you said, Matthews, 2 goals in 5 games, like for any player, that's pretty solid. But when you're Austin Matthews scoring almost 70 goals last year, like, you know, we kind of have to call it out when it's there. But so far, they've looked good in pretty much every game, even the last little bit when they played the Rangers and they lost 4-1. Like, 2 were empty netters. They were down 2-1. And they didn't look all that bad. Shesterkin played pretty well. But I'd be interested to see how they do in the upcoming week against Tampa on Monday. That'll be an interesting game. But they need to win a lot more divisional games this year compared to last year. That's for sure.
I think the Leafs, they need to go down to goaltending a little bit. With Joseph Woll being injured, I think that they may struggle in that area coming up in their few couple games against the Lightning and the Bruins coming up on October 26th. We all know about that Game 7 last year. Leafs and Bruins, Samsonov was in net. It was 2-1. I'll give Samsonov the credit. You know, he was good at the time. But it was only because Woll was injured. You know, I feel like if Woll was playing, but the only issue with Woll is that he's always injured at this point. So where do you go from there? Like, if you have a goalie that's always injured, but this goalie is really good, do you hold on to him or do you trade him when his value is still good?
Yeah, that's a great point. Anthony Stolarz has been solid for the Leafs so far. He is 2-2 in his 4 games played, but he has a 1.79 goals against average and a .937 save percentage, which is solid. But then you got Dennis Hildeby, who, although he won and like he has a 2.02 goals against average, he's just not who you want as a consistent backup for this team in the regular season. So without Woll, it's just going to be very difficult for them to compete consistently.
Yeah, for sure. That's the main problem, is because going into this year, you look at the Leafs goaltending, you look at Stolarz, you're like, okay, he's been a backup most of his career. You look at Woll, yeah, he's been a backup for pretty much the beginning of his career, but they're both solid goalies. They're both high-end backups. So when you put them together, you're like, okay, that can make a pretty good tandem. But when you're missing one of them, that just kind of eliminates the whole concept of having those two goalies. And I think the problem is Woll is, it's a little scary because for how young he is, getting injured as often as he is, it's tough to really look at like how it's going to be, because what happens when he comes back for 10 games and gets hurt again? Like, you know, then what do you do? That's the problem. And then trade deadline comes around. What do you do? You can't. I don't know. I don't trust going into the playoffs with Anthony Stolarz as your starter and, like you said, Hildeby as your backup. Like, that's not a playoff tandem. It's not.
No, I agree with that. You want consistency in your goaltending. Like, we look at a lot of teams over the last couple of years, the one thing they had was a consistent goaltender. Like, let's look at the Florida Panthers last year. They were not the best team offensively. They did not score the most goals. The thing they had was Sergei Bobrovsky. He was consistent, probably one of the most consistent playoff runs I have seen in a while from a goaltender. And that's something the Leafs need to find.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. Yeah, the Leafs are, with Woll healthy, they're a great team. And it's just, they need to figure that out. Got to figure out what keeps happening with Woll and try and prevent it.
Yeah, it's a little weird right now with even the team in general. Like, even looking at the forwards too, like how, like Pacioretty started the season, then he's a healthy scratch, and then we got Reeves coming in and out of the lineup. You got, people are saying Holmberg should be scratched. It's just like, it's kind of, I don't want to say a disaster because they're not doing bad and they have a good team and those guys are all good players, but it's just like, yeah, we're only what, five, six games in, but like, what is that going to look like in 40 games? Who's going to be starting up top? Who's going to be on defense? Because you got the whole thing with Liljegren and Timmins, and then Hakimpaa is supposed to be back from injury. Even for the forwards, Dewar's supposed to be back as well. It's like there's a whole just like what is happening? Like in past years, it's like starting lineup on opening night usually is more or less the same by the end of the season, other than the trade deadline. Now it's like there's just guys coming in and out of the lineup. Like I have no idea what it's going to look like.
Yeah, it's you got to get consistency going. The Leafs practice clips look a lot different than when Sheldon Keefe was the guy there. They're actually, organized, having hard competitive practices, no more grittying below the circles there. So hopefully that leads to some consistency, and they're just trying to figure out who they want in and who they want to leave out.
Yeah,
And
for
I think that
sure.
was important for the Leafs. They needed that culture shift going into the season. Sheldon Keefe was there. They had one playoff series win. A lot of Leaf fans wanted more. Like, we thought Sheldon Keefe was the guy to take this team to the finals. One playoff series win in a lot of years wasn't really up to the standard that Leafs fans and management had in mind. So the culture shift from Berube, or from Keefe to Berube, I think it was needed. I think they just needed like that change in the mentality of the game in order to keep them going. Because I don't want to say it, but Keefe, I don't think was, he didn't have enough of that tough love in a way where he was just like, hey guys, yeah, go whatever, have some fun in the playoffs. But I feel like Berube, when they make the playoffs this year, because they will make the playoffs this year, I think he's going to be the guy's guys. This is the playoffs. Keep that intensity going that you showed throughout the entire season. If you don't show that intensity, don't bother showing up to the playoffs. It's the playoffs. Everyone's there to win.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Look at the Oilers as an example from last year. They had Jay Woodcroft all year, and or sorry, for half of the year, and the team, like, they were not good at all. They were No one knew what was happening. You got McDavid, Draisaitl, you got all these players, and they can't do anything. And then they get Chris Knobloch, and the team does a complete 180. Like, they look 10 times better. They go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Sometimes it's all you need sometimes is even just a change of voice. Like, sometimes that's all it is. And I think that might be what it is for the Leafs. They just needed a different voice in the locker room. And obviously Sheldon Keefe wasn't doing it. One playoff win, yeah, it's not enough when you have those caliber players. It's really not.
Yeah, and moving on from the Leafs here a little bit, looking at the NHL point leaders this so far this season, talk about not aging at all. In third place with Evgeny Malkin with 11 points in his age 39 season. But as impressive as it is, and as much as I love Evgeny Malkin, Artemi Panarin has 6 goals and 6 assists in 5 games so far. It's just absolutely incredible what he's been able to do. Like, who else? Are you guys looking forward to watching the rest of the season? Who's off to a hot start, or who's gonna pick up after a slow start?
That's a good question, because I'm interested. Not that I want to see him. I'm interested to see what he's going to do, because I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit of a Sam Reinhart hater last year. And I was a little bit of a he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but I was a little bit, he's like a power play merchant. This guy was getting all his goals on power plays. I'm like, I don't think this is sustainable. He's not going to keep this up. And he had a great year last year, and he proved me wrong. But I was like, going into this year, I'm like, he's a great player, but I just don't see it. And he's doing it again. He's got 12 points. He's got 5 goals. Like, I can't even knock him. Like, he's doing great. And kind of the same thing with Kucherov. I was expecting this year, like when I was doing like fantasy drafts and stuff, I was kind of staying away from Kucherov, not because I thought he was a bad player, but Tampa's kind of regressed. I thought he might regress a little bit, but even him, he's 7 goals already this year. Like, I don't know. I'm getting proven wrong. I'd like to see what those players continue to do.
I'd like to see the new dynamic in Montreal going on. You have Cole Caulfield, who is 6 goals. That's tied for second in the league right now. Can he continue that going? Because he's a pretty good player. I think I'm curious to know what this young guy has in store for the rest of the season, because he could lead the league in goals this year.
Could I don't like Cole Caulfield, but he could.
Yeah, he's been off to a great start. Yeah, but overall, also, goaltending has been such a struggle this season as a whole. You look at what's happening in Colorado with Georgiev, he is the worst goalie in hockey. And then you go over and look at Pittsburgh with two-time All-Star Tristan Jarry being booed out of the city and having the worst start of his career, letting in six in the first game, and then just not even being able to pick it up in his final start so far this season, getting pulled after letting 3 goals in on 5 shots, I believe, and just struggling early. What's happening with goaltenders this year? It's just like crazy.
I know it's been a disaster, but like Jari, it's funny, like with Jari, like going into the year, I remember, like, because everyone's talking about that Four Nations face-off that's going to happen in February, and like who's going to be the goalies for Canada, because you look at the US and they got every top goalie in the NHL, so it's like they're not worried. You got Ottinger, you got Hellebuck, like they don't really care. But then you look at Canada and it's like, as good as our team is, they're just lacking goaltending. And going into the year, everyone's like, yeah, 100% starting goalie is going to be like Binnington, Hill, and Jari. It's got to be Jari. And now that the season started, I can't say I want Jari to be my goalie for Canada. I really can't say that as of right now. Like, obviously things can turn around, but yeah, it's been a really strange start. It like top goalies are doing well. Like Sorokin's doing well from coming back from his injury so far. Hellebuck's done well. Ottinger's done well. Georgiev, just like, unfortunately for Colorado, the problem is he's like, I don't want to say losing it for his team, but like they're a good team and they're scoring. He just can't keep anything out right now. And it's like they have one win because of that. Like, that's a problem. Like, I think they need to figure that out, because I don't think he's a top goalie for Colorado. Like, for a team that's making a run, you kind of need a top goalie. And I don't think he's that. So I don't know. That might be interesting to see if they try to get anyone.
No, you're absolutely right. I just had a question for you, Dante.
Yeah.
If Colorado were to make a goalie change early in the season, who would be like a trade target for them, or even a free agent signing?
That's a good question. I think they gotta look into teams. Like, honestly, for years I've been saying that John Gibson needs to go somewhere. I've been saying for years and years that that poor guy on the Ducks was so good, but he's not bad now. He's just on a bad team. That's all it is. And I think if he went to Colorado, he can thrive. Like, I think John Gibson can do great. Or they can look at a team like the Islanders, and they got Sorokin and Varlamov, and take, they're not going to trade Sorokin, obviously, but if they feel like the Islanders, yeah, they can make a playoff push, but they're not Stanley Cup contenders. I could see them maybe trading Varlamov for a few assets, or another team like that's got two solid goalies. I think the Colorado should have made a push for Swayman, to be honest, when they did, and they kind of tried, but I think that would have been interesting. Or Allmark in the offseason. I think if Colorado gets a goalie like that, like Swayman, Allmark, someone like that, I don't think anyone's stopping them, to be honest.
Yeah, I think
Interesting.
that's very fair.
It is. It's absolutely fair. One more question for the group. Surprisingly, this guy took me by surprise this year. Jake Allen, 0.5 goals against average in his two starts. He's 2-0. Can he maintain that? Because me personally, I don't think he will, because he's such a surprise guy this year. I'm hoping he can maintain it. He was one of the great junior goalies I watched growing up.
Yeah, he's solid goalie. He just, like, I don't know, like, I don't mean, like, I'm not like being disrespectful in saying this, but he's a very like average goalie. He's not amazing, but he's not bad. He's just kind of middle of the pack, like just decent goalie. I don't know, I'd be interested, because like New Jersey this year, like, is supposed to do pretty well, and like Markstrom, everyone was saying with Markstrom going there that he was going to do great. Now Jake Allen is doing great. Like, I don't know, honestly, I could see him being like a Stolarov. Ehlers last year. He plays like 30 games, has a really good save percentage, but he isn't the starter. That's what I would think.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him to take that starting job from Markstrom, just with how good Markstrom can be. And with a good team in front of him, I think Allen, although he will have a solid season, I still just agree with you. He'll probably get like 30 games, be solid, but Markstrom is that guy there.
To that point, actually, I think this is going to make Markstrom play a lot better, because I think that kind of on your back, like, oh, if this guy keeps playing well, like, I might lose my job. I think Markstrom's kind of step it up based on how Allen's playing. It kind of, that friendly rivalry always kind of pushes you a little bit when you got someone right behind you that could take your spot. You play that little bit harder. Like, even like we've seen with the Leafs, like Bobby McMahon has 3 goals in his like what 3 or 4 games he's played, and he was out of the lineup the first 2 games because he knows he can be in another lineup. He's gonna play every game like it's his last game,
Moving into the NFL here, just pivoting a little bit. What about the Kansas City Chiefs? And at this point, where we stand, 6 weeks done in the season, they are 5-0 and have yet to lose. And it's just, the way I see it, it can't be Mahomes' magic. He hasn't been that great this season, but they are just finding a way to get it done.
Sick of them.
It all comes down to the Chiefs' defense. Like, their defensive coordinator. Do you guys know who he is?
I don't actually.
I believe so. I'm just
It's
blanking on the name.
Steve Spagnuolo. Now, some history on Steve Spagnuolo. He was a defensive coordinator for the New York Giants for quite a while, and he has quite a few Super Bowl rings. The team he beat, his first Super Bowl, he beat the 17-0 Patriots, creating the perfect game plan to counteract that 17-0 Patriots team. He also won it again. He beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Now he's on the Kansas City Chiefs. Take that in for a second. He has created masterclasses for, it's been a Steve Spagnuolo masterclass for the season. This defense has created turnovers every single game they've played, and it gives the offense great field position. I'm not discrediting Mahomes. I'm not discrediting anything here, but it kind of covers up some mediocre play that we've seen. Because we see these great defensive performances, followed by short field offense, followed by a lot of runs, screen passes, checkdowns. And it's kind of cool to see Mahomes throw to other guys on the team rather than a Kelce all the time, because it allows him to be familiar and more, because Kelce is 34, 35 years old. He's going to retire soon. I don't see him playing until he's 38 or something like that. I see Mahomes experimenting with every single receiver on his team. For Mahomes himself, he's got to target Xavier Worthy way more than he does. I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster is the future receiver for the Chiefs, because with Rashee Rice's knee, now he's not going to be playing the rest of the season. They have signed Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown's gone, so he's throwing to Justin Watson and Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith, Travis Kelce, and Noah Gray. Like, Noah Gray's put up some great numbers this season. I'd like to see more of Xavier Worthy because he's such a dynamic player with his speed and all that. Like, the Chiefs are super depleted this year. Pacheco's out. A lot of their players are out. So they're relying on Carson Steele and Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is actually been pretty decent so far. I'm looking forward to see what he does against San Francisco next week. I'm also seeing whatever he's going to do this season, because he used to play for the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt. And I'm just looking forward to see what differences the Chiefs can make in their offense to not only make them more dynamic, but hopefully to see them build up, gain more trust among receivers, running backs, offensive line. This is a completely different team than what we saw with them like 5 years ago when they won their first Super Bowl.
And Chris, I know this has been a topic that I've wanted to ask you this entire time, but you being a huge Packers fan, how does it feel to have the little Packers reunion going on down there in New York for the New York football Jets here.
The Jets. It's just try and be original. The 2020 Packers and 2021 Packers did not work for a reason, right? They're pretty much set up the exact same team as those guys. And it's, again, no discredit. They're basically just a better unit with Garrett Wilson. But with Rodgers, who was 40, I'd say with a torn Achilles, of course. Davante Adams, who is 31. Young Garrett Wilson. You have Alan Lazard, Breece Hall. It doesn't really change the fact that their O-line is really bad. Rodgers is 40 years old coming off an Achilles tear. How is he going to have time launching the ball to Devontae Garrett Wilson when his offensive line can't even block for him for 5 seconds? That was the big issue with that trade. It's like, I get it. You need more offensive help. You got to get the weight off of Garrett Wilson's shoulders. I get it. But if you're going to look at it again, it's pretty much just a lateral move. It's just another way for them to crowd the offensive line more because they know Rodgers is 40 slow coming off an Achilles tear. But I am looking forward to see how it's going to work out. Like I loved watching Rodgers and Devontae like 2020 to 2022. It was a beautiful thing to watch. And I'm sure they'll find a way to squeak into the playoffs this year. I'm sure they will. But I don't think they'll make a Super Bowl run without making some major offensive line changes.
Dante, a quick question for you because I know you've had some terrible years as a Commanders fan. But your guy, Jaden Daniels, has had one of the greatest starts to a career of any quarterback in recent memory, let alone maybe even NFL history, putting up some of the most accurate numbers for completion percentage in a like at least 4-game stretch, if I'm correct here. Out of anyone, not just rookies. So, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, honestly. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there's been many years of misery, so seeing this is something. Like, it makes me feel good because I've said for years, Terry McLaurin, he's a wide receiver one. He's a great wide receiver one. He just doesn't get enough credit because his quarterback isn't good, and he's had so many of them. That's been the problem. And a lot of people, if you don't watch Terry McLaurin, if you haven't watched him, you don't know how good he is. When you watch him, he is a very good wide receiver, and he's had 11 quarterbacks through his career. He's only been in the league for a few years, and he's had 11 quarterbacks. That's crazy. That's insane. That's unheard of. But now that he, like, through these games, through watching these 6 games, Jaden Daniels throwing to Terry McLaurin has been like something you've never seen before. If you're a Washington fan, you've never seen that. You've never seen someone throw passes as accurately as he does, read the routes as well as he does of Terry McLaurin. Just the usage too. Terry McLaurin wasn't used nearly enough in the past, and they're using him this year because they have a quarterback that can actually find him even when he's getting doubled, even when he has a good corner on him, whatever it is, he's still going to find him. And I think Washington, I think they just look good all around, to be honest. Like, a couple, like a week ago, it's unfortunate Jonathan Allen sounds like is going to be out for the year, which is a major hit to our defense. But the defense has looked solid. It started bad the first couple weeks, but it's looked solid lately. And I like our receivers. Luke McCaffrey has looked good getting him in the draft. He's looked pretty solid. Like I said, Terry McLaurin's looked great. Our running backs, like Brian Robinson's a beast. He looks great. Austin Eckler is having a little bit of a resurgence. He's doing a little bit better. Still not the best, but Zach Ertz is having a resurgence, actually. He's looked great. He's looked awesome this year. Noah Brown's looked really good. Honestly, the whole team, I can't really pick anyone out that hasn't done well. The O-line's been good. They've been pretty solid all around. And it's funny because I was curious to ask you guys about Washington. I was curious, like, do you guys think that this start to Jaden Daniels' career, it's been, 6 weeks. Do you guys think this is a hot start that is slowly going to fizzle out and Washington either might not make the playoffs or next year they're not going to be that great? Or do you guys think they're the real deal and this is the new Washington.
I'd like to think they're the real deal. Other than
Yeah.
that one game against Baltimore, sorry.
Yeah.
One game against Baltimore, they looked very well. You're right. Eckler, I even say Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz seem to have like a whole rejuvenation tour going on. Like Zach Ertz was a guy who thought, oh, okay, he was bouncing from practice squad to practice squad, comes up in Washington. Everyone was like, yeah, okay, but then all of a sudden he's playing like his old self again. And that's something I'd like to see. Same with Austin Eckler. Yeah, he's running back number two, but I think it was needed to take a little bit of a step back because either way, he's still a very solid running back, like you said, and Bobby Wagner as well. They're just doing such a well team, even if it's like a nice mix of veterans and young guys. Veterans can mentor the young guys.
Unfortunately, that's going to be all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us on the final whistle, and we will see you guys next week.
It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City! Is this the tiger? Oh!